Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew, and we are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got open lines here at the top of the hour. Plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, maybe there's something you heard in church recently or in a Bible study or talking in a coffee shop with a friend and, well, you're not so sure about it. Well, let's make it a conversation together right now. Let's talk it over. 877-655-6755. Again, open lines right now. Plenty of room for you. No wait as you call in with your question tonight. Maybe there's a personal issue going on in your life, and you've got something going on in your family, with your kids, in your church, whatever it might be. You're looking for that grace-based perspective. Well, let's talk it over. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you right now, 877-655-6755. Well, I want to remind you that today is Giving Tuesday. It is a national holiday for giving, for donating to charities and causes of your choice. And if you would like to help us reach even more people with the great news of God's grace, we could use your help right now. We've set a target of $35,000 for tonight by midnight, and we could use your help. So if you want to help us reach more people and get this message of God's grace out there, go to our website and give today on Giving Tuesday, a special holiday dedicated to charity. So we are a nonprofit organization, and we can give you a tax receipt for that donation, of course, and you can go to our website. It takes just about 2 minutes to give, and it would mean the world to me if you decide to support us, to come alongside us this Giving Tuesday and partner with us. Again, the website is andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. All right, well, let's go now to Virginia, and we'll talk with Monzi. Hey, Monzi.
Hi, Brother Andrew. Thank you so much for this message of grace. I've been watching you since last year. Actually, my husband came to the conference.
Wonderful.
The last conference he had, that's Claude. So it's really, I need a little bit of clarification on Matthew 18, especially between verses 15 and 20. So I've been trying to help some of my friends see what I see.
Yeah.
Because I've been a Christian for over 30 years, and it's only last year that through my husband and yourself that I have been clarified with the message of grace. So Matthew 18, 15 to 20.
Yes.
So I was explaining my friend that really she was thinking that the person that they're taking to, you talk to and they don't listen to you, go to the next person, they don't listen, then the church. And she's saying that that person is a Christian. And so therefore, if they see him as a pagan, he's really lost salvation. I said, no, a Christian cannot lose salvation. But I want some clarification.
Okay.
That I can explain it better to my friend.
Sure. Okay, absolutely, Monzi. Thanks for your call tonight. And please say hello to your husband. It was great to see him at the conference, and we really enjoyed having him. I hope you'll join him sometime at a future event. We talked about Matthew 18, I believe, last night on the program. We addressed some of these verses, but not from the exact angle that you're asking about. Absolutely. There's no mention of loss of salvation here. This has nothing to do with loss of salvation. It has to do with loss of common sense, if you will. It has to do with loss of direction, perhaps, loss of wisdom, loss of your mental faculties, in a sense. I mean, someone who is engaged in heinous sin and they're approached by someone else, a loving brother or sister in Christ, who confronts them about their issue and says, hey, I'm here to help. Hey, I want to offer counsel. Hey, how can I help you? And they say, leave me alone. I've got no problem. There's no sin issue. Leave me alone. And then, well, you know, you have to say, well, wait a minute, let me come back and visit you with a friend or two. This is all in a context of love. We're not talking about beating somebody over the head with a Bible here. We're not talking about pointing bony fingers of judgment. We're assuming here the motives are good, the heart is good. We're assuming that this is truly about restoring someone gently, as we read in the New Testament. Nevertheless, you come back, you visit the person a second time, and they say, forget you, I don't care what you think, I don't care what anybody thinks, get out of here. Well, if they're a member of your congregation and they're excusing open, heinous sin and saying God's cool with it and you should be cool with it too, that's the point at which, after you know they've been approached three times now, that's exactly what Paul did. I mean, Paul did what Jesus is describing here. What's described in Matthew 18, Paul did when he spoke with the Corinthians, and there was a man who was having inappropriate relations with his father's wife, and Paul notes that such immorality was not even named among the Gentiles, not even done among Corinthians, and that's saying a lot, because the Corinthians were pretty corrupt people at that time. I mean, you talk about bathhouses and pagan temples and prostitution and all kinds of ugly, heinous-looking sin, and yet, you know, most people weren't running around sleeping with their father's wife. So what this Christian was engaged in, and he was a Christian, by the way, what he was engaged in was so heinous that it wasn't even done among unbelievers. So that's when Paul says, hey, you're not listening to your friends, you're not listening to the pastor of the congregation, you're not listening to me, so you don't belong here. I mean, if you don't respect us and don't care about what we believe, or you don't care about what God thinks of your behavior, then you really have no business running around using the name of Jesus and associating yourself with our group. Now, Paul said that his spirit would be saved. This person would be saved, but he was making a mockery of himself in the flesh and making a mockery of the faith, walking after the flesh, but his spirit would be saved as through fire, meaning, you know, he didn't lose his salvation, but he lost his common sense here. He lost his godly wisdom. He lost his sense of what was good and right in trusting Jesus. Instead, he was trusting in error, not truth. And so, you know, that's what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 18. He's kind of giving a foreshadowing of that type of situation. Go to somebody, talk to them. If they totally ignore you, bring a friend. If they totally ignore you, consult church leadership. If they totally ignore the church, well then, hey, you know, do what the Corinthians did. There's a time and a place for that. But as far as your friend, Monzi, saying that church discipline results in loss of salvation, well, that is a gross error. I mean, just because we say, hey, friend, you're involved in something that's unhealthy and you want to excuse it and you want to say it's okay with God and you want to claim it should be okay with us and we're against this and we're not for this and so we're asking you to leave, well, that doesn't mean they've lost their salvation. They've lost fellowship with a local congregation. But even in the story in Corinth, I mean, that person was restored. And that's a pretty big deal. I mean, in 2 Corinthians, this man is restored to the congregation. And you know what Paul's heart is? Paul's heart is, I hope that he doesn't feel excessive sorrow. In other words, I don't want him to just be inundated with guilt, overwhelmed with shame, having excessive sorrow. He can move past what he's done. He's forgiven. It's forgotten. It's removed as far as the east is from the west. God remembers his sins no more, and so we can let this go, and we can love this man and embrace him and care about him. And so his fellowship with that congregation was restored. Was his fellowship with God restored? No, because it was never lost. His fellowship with God was never lost. God says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Nobody can snatch you out of my hand. And so God went with that man, and the Holy Spirit was in that man, counseling him, reasoning with him, and that is how he came back to his senses. So God never says, go get yourself ready for me, and then I'll come back. God never says, go fix yourself up, and then I'll revisit you. No, God goes with us as our counselor, our guide into all truth. So, Monzi, there's no loss of salvation in this passage in Matthew 18. There's no loss of salvation with the Corinthian man, and all of that is a fabrication. This is about church discipline. It has nothing to do with loss of salvation. Thanks for your call. Again, say hi to your husband, and we hope to see you again soon. 877-655-6755. Let's go now to North Carolina, and we'll talk with Edgar. Hey, Edgar.
Hey, Dr. Farley, how are you today?
Hey, doing well, Edgar. What have you got for us tonight?
Great, great. Happy holidays. I first just want to make a statement, man, and just thank you for your ministry. I was brought up in Christianity all my life, and when I made the change and decided to get baptized and walk with the Lord, I noticed a lot of good changes, man, and I love your perspective, so I want to thank you for that, first of all.
Oh, thank you.
My question is going to be regarding Hebrews 10:26. You know, I consider, and I understand where Apostle Paul talked about with the thorn in the flesh, because I fought a certain thing all my life, and I'm still fighting it. Had successes, you know, I'll fall here and there and other successes. But I've had well-meaning Christian ministers and counselors use this scripture, to, I guess their way of motivating, to kind of hit you on the head and say, listen, you know, possibly, you know, if you continue doing something, even though you don't want to do it, you know, that this scripture kind of talks more about, you know, facing judgment for a believer. So I wanted to get your perspective on that, and quiet down and listen to you. So I appreciate you.
All right, Edgar. Thanks for your call tonight, and thanks for sharing a little bit of your journey there. It's encouraging for me to hear. I'm so glad that, you know, you're being strengthened and established and built up in God's grace. That's awesome to hear. Well, here we are in Hebrews chapter 10, and you're referring to verse 26. It says, if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. All right, so what is this talking about? Is this a Christian that could lose their salvation? Is this a Christian that could be judged and then condemned? Is this a Christian that could become an adversary or an enemy of God? Well, the answer to all those questions is no. This is not a Christian being judged for sins. This is not a Christian losing their salvation. This is not a Christian becoming an enemy of God. No, we are friends of God, we are children of God, and we will always be. If Christ lives in us, he'll never leave us. We have eternal life, not temporary life. So what in the world is going on in this passage? Well, fortunately, we're in chapter 10, so we've got 10 chapters of context here. And, of course, we're not going to go through 10 full chapters, but I'll just issue this challenge, if you will. I challenge us to go back through the first 10 chapters of Hebrews and find any other kind of sin mentioned other than this single kind of sin, and that is the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief is mentioned, and it's the only sin mentioned for 10 chapters. Now, that's relevant. And that is unusual. I mean, you look at Galatians, there's all kinds of sins mentioned. You look at Ephesians, all kinds of sins. Corinthians, my goodness, many kinds of sins mentioned. Behavior issues all over the place in the Gentile world. But this was not written to Gentiles. It was written to Jews, and they had the law. And so they already knew about immorality. They had a consciousness of sin and all that. Here was their issue. Their issue was, who is this Jesus? Is he really Messiah? I'm not so sure. I've got my doubts. Maybe I'll go listen to that home church a little bit, but they seemed to be a small operation, a ragtag group of believers. And over here, we've got our big temple and all the money and all the expense that's gone into it and all the heritage and the lineage and the tradition. Certainly, I should go back to the temple. That's where I'll find forgiveness and righteousness, not from this Jesus. And so they were starting to flirt with the gospel message, and yet they were turned back to the temple. They were trying to hedge their bet. They weren't sure about the identity and work of Christ. And so that is the sin that is mentioned in this letter, and it's the only sin mentioned, the sin of unbelief, the sin of rejecting the gospel. And it's you know, there's an analogy here in Hebrews where it's basically saying you're acting like Israel wandering in the wilderness. Don't wander in the wilderness of unbelief. Go ahead and enter the promised land. Don't be like Israel, who never entered the promised land for that 40 years, just wandering and wandering because they were floundering in unbelief and rejection of God's message. Likewise, there's a message today, and it's about Jesus Christ. So don't flounder in unbelief. Don't wander in a spiritual wilderness. That's the sin that this author is concerned about. So when he says, if we go on sinning willfully, what does he mean? He means that if we go on unbelieving, if we go on rejecting, if we go on rejecting the gospel after receiving the knowledge of the truth, then there's no sacrifice left for sins. So that's a pretty big deal. That means that, this isn't written to a Christian about loss of salvation. This is written to an unbeliever who is riding on the fence. They're considering Jesus, but they're not so sure. And this author is saying, be careful. Be careful. Make sure that you have invested in the gospel, and make sure that you've put your confidence in Jesus Christ as Messiah. Otherwise, there's no sacrifice left. There's no sacrifice in that temple. There's no sacrifice in that tabernacle. There's no sacrifice anywhere. There's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. And you will be an adversary, an enemy of God, if you reject the gospel. So this has nothing to do with loss of salvation. It is about Hebrew people who are riding the fence and are going to reject Jesus unless they heed this warning. So nobody should be using this passage to beat you up, my friend. Nobody should be using this passage to, quote, inspire you, as you said. This is not inspirational for a believer. God does not use fear to inspire a believer. God uses love. So this is a very important warning for unbelievers, but it's a misapplication to use it to scare children of God. I hope that helps. I hope that is clarifying for you, my friend, and we expect or hope to hear from you again anytime. We'd love that. 877-655-6755. That is the number. We've got open lines and plenty of room for you right now to call in with your question. If you've got a question about a scripture passage or whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you. A reminder tonight is Giving Tuesday. We've got just about 5 hours left or so till midnight, and we've set our goal of $35,000 in giving for today. If you want to help us reach our goal, we could use your help. Consider supporting the ministry. It would mean the world to us, and you can help us reach even more people with the great news of God's grace. Again, that website, andrewfarley.org, that's andrewfarley.org. You can click on the donate tab there and participate in today's holiday, Giving Tuesday, a day dedicated to charity, to giving to causes that you care about. And if you want to help us reach even more people, if you care about the cause that we have, if you want to get behind what we're doing, well, we would love that. So again, visit our website, andrewfarley.org. Click on the donate tab there. It's andrewfarley.org. All right, let's go now to Dallas, Texas, and we'll talk with Vince. Hey, Vince.
Hi, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, good. What's on your heart tonight, Vince?
I'm a first-time caller, and I listen to you a lot, and I have something that's been heavy on my heart recently. I have a almost 2-year-old daughter. I've never been married. I'm 39. Uh-huh. And my daughter's mom polices when I can and cannot spend time with my daughter. And I just, some things have gone down, and I've hit a breaking point to where I've filed for at least 50-50 custody. I'm not trying to take mommy away from baby. I'm just trying to fulfill being a good father to my little girl. And it's been heavy on my heart because she's given me the guilt trip of how this is unbiblical to make this move and it's not Christ-like. And I just would like your perspective.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, there's nothing sinful or wrong about wanting to see your daughter. You know, even though she has given birth to your daughter, that does not mean that there's ownership there. I think that's really important. It's not sole ownership anyway. I mean, you know, you both have shared ownership in this young lady's life. At least that's a good, healthy Christian perspective. I don't know all the ins and outs of custody and all the laws and all of that. But, you know, it doesn't sound like you want to do anything damaging. You're just looking to spend more time with your daughter. And so I think you're free in this regard, my friend. I think that you're certainly free as you pray about things and seek God's wisdom and seek God's counsel and seek the help of a good attorney who knows what they're doing and can help you achieve the goal of being able to see your daughter more. You're not trying to take the child away. You're not trying to keep your, you know, her mother from seeing her. It's just that you want to see your child, and that's completely understandable. I don't think there's any evil motive in that. If you're telling me the whole story, well, it certainly sounds like you're free to make that move to enjoy a 50-50 you know, share in time spent. Now, what the law decides in the great state of Texas, I have no idea. I'm assuming it depends on a case-by-case basis and the information shared. You know, generally, they lean more towards the mother. You probably know that. But, you know, you're free. You're free to express yourself. You're free to put your best case forward. You're free to present why you should be eligible for a 50% share in that time. I don't think there's anything unloving or unkind about that, especially if you have a healthy home and a place for this young girl to spend time, and if you have a lifestyle that is healthy and conducive to good parenting, and there's a case to be made there, well, then make that case. You're not looking to break anyone's heart or hurt the mother. And so I would try my best to share that from the heart and see if she can hear your soft heart, not your a hard-hearted attitude of trying to be stingy or trying to declare territory, but instead a soft heart of love that just wants to spend time with that little girl. So I would take that approach. I wouldn't feel guilty about expressing yourself and making your case and then letting the great state of Texas make that decision. This is not a matter of conscience where a sin is being committed at all. In fact, it sounds to me very much that you have loving motives, my friend. So I hope that helps. I hope that gives you the confidence you're looking for. See if you can, you know, resolve this without court. See if you can resolve this in any way without attorneys involved. Maybe a mediator, maybe a Christian mediator. Maybe you could look for such services to try to avoid some of those complications. But if not, you're free. You are free to try to spend more time with that daughter of yours. So thanks for your call tonight. I hope, again, that's an encouragement to you, Vince. Well, again, I want to thank all of those who've called in tonight. Appreciate you putting confidence in us as we seek to give scriptural answers, pointing everyone to Jesus Christ over and over again as the author and perfecter of our faith. We live a life not of trying, but of trusting. We live a life of dependency. We live a life that is an obedient life, but Paul says it's the obedience of faith. What a curious phrase, the obedience of faith. Real obedience springs from faith and trust and dependency in the life of Christ living inside of us. That's not a person to be imitated, but instead a person to be trusted as he expresses his life in and through our unique personalities. What a privilege it is to have him living in and through us.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.